FHE, Friend to Friend. From an interview with Elder Richard H. Winkle of the 70, currently serving in the North America West Area Presidency, by Janet Peterson. I was born in Oakland, California in 1942 and spent my early years in Alameda, California, in the Bay Area. When I was about 10 years old, we moved to a little town called Niles. From a very early age, I became appreciative of culture and people. On my first day as a fourth grader in Niles, I was told that our school had religious instruction for all students. Everyone went to either the Protestant section or the Catholic section. I didn't think I was either one, but I went with the Protestants and enjoyed singing those old hymns. Later, I had a good Jewish friend all through high school. I liked athletics and became very close friends with many black and Hispanic boys through sports. I later served a mission to Chile. Following my mission, I attended the University of Madrid in Spain. I lived in a pension, or a boarding house, with about 12 or 13 other students from various parts of Spain. Because of my experiences, I have always been very interested in studying cultures and have come to appreciate all of them. My grandparents, on the Winkle side, were converted to the church in Holland at the turn of the century. On my mother's side, my ancestors were pioneers who made the trek from Nauvoo, Illinois. My parents were always good, strong members of the church. My dad was bishop and stake president while I was growing up. Later, he served as a patriarch, and my parents served a mission. My father and mother were good examples and wonderful people. My parents brought me to Salt Lake City to General Conference when I was about 11 or 12 years old. After conference, we got in line to greet the general authorities, as was the custom in those days. I especially remember meeting President David O. McKay, the president of the church then, and thinking what a great man he was. He made a tremendous impression on me. When I was stake president in Eureka, California, I went to one of the wards to visit their primary. When I arrived, they had already begun their sharing time. As I walked in, the chorister said, "Children, guess who is here? How many of you know who this is?" They all popped their hands up, and she pointed to one who said, "It's the prophet." I wish for them that it had been. You children love the prophet. From a very early age, you have learned a great appreciation for him in the songs you sing and the talks you hear in primary. You know that he is the Lord's representative here on earth. We have a great prophet now, President Gordon B. Hinckley. During his administration, we have seen the miracle of the temples now numbering around 100 and the tremendous growth of the church through missionary work. When I was called as a general authority, President Hinckley asked my wife and me about our children. We talked about our youngest daughter, who was 14 at the time. Several times afterward, when I saw President Hinckley, he asked, "How's your daughter doing?" President Hinckley is concerned about everyone, especially missionaries. While I was serving as a mission president in Madrid, Spain, one of our missionaries was injured by some young men who pushed and shoved and beat him. We had to take the missionary to the hospital. President Hinckley heard what had happened and called to find out how he was doing. It was a great example to me of how concerned the prophet is about people. Latter-day prophets have taught that the family is very important. I had wonderful parents, a great brother, and five marvelous sisters who were always singing. We were a musical family. My brother and I were really close friends, and we both liked sports. We were on the high school football team together. He was a quarterback, and I was an end. So it was Winkle to Winkle. We were on the high school varsity basketball team together. We played baseball together, and we played on the BYU freshman basketball team. My wife and I have seven daughters and two sons, and we have a lot of fun as a family. My children understand the meaning of work, too. I owned a lumber business in Northern California, and they all worked there. The modern family, unfortunately, doesn't spend as much time together, doesn't even have dinner together as often. Family members tend to go their separate ways. If we're going to be close as families, we need to follow the prophet. We need to stick with the basics by having family prayer, holding family home evening, and reading the scriptures together. You can help remind your family to do these things. When my children were young, I served as a bishop, played ball, and owned my own business. But we always found time for family home evening each Monday night. One of our activities was learning the Articles of Faith. Whoever memorized them got to go on a special outing with Dad. One of my sons, who met this goal, chose to go bowling. Since a nearby bowling alley was open all night, we decided to go there at 5 a.m. We had so much fun that the whole family went bowling several times during early morning hours. We need to follow the prophet by spending time together as families. End of the article, Friend to Friend, by Janet Peterson. FHE, Fiction, Missionary Challenge, by James Engberson. "But I don't know anybody who wants to know about the church," I protested in family home evening. "My friends know that I'm a Latter-day Saint, and they don't even ask me to tell them anything." "But, Aaron, you need to ask them," Dad pointed out with a smile. "Nobody expects you to go around knocking on people's doors, but you meet people every day who might be interested in listening to the gospel message. You have to have courage to ask them, though." Dad thought for a minute, then added, Aaron, you're named after two great missionaries. My full name is Aaron Ammon Anderson. Dad and Mom had named me after two of the missionary brothers in the Book of Mormon, and they didn't want me to ever forget it. Aaron and Ammon were willing to do anything to share the gospel. Nobody else thought the Lamanites were interested in the gospel, but because Aaron and Ammon had the courage to try, they had wonderful success. Surely you can think of someone who might want to know about the church. There were only a few Mormons in my school, although I didn't go around telling anybody that I was a Mormon, but a lot of them knew. I guess I could ask Brian, I muttered, figuring out that he was the easiest guy in my whole class to ask. "Oh, he's the one you took to Cub Scouts last month," Mom said, pleased. I nodded, feeling that I was finally off the hook. "What about your teacher, Mr. Santos?" my sister Karen asked. "I'm not asking Mr. Santos anything," I snapped. "He likes me. I don't want to ruin anything. Besides, I already have my person." Mr. Santos was the best teacher at school. Everybody liked him, and he liked everybody. Everything he did in class was exciting and fun. The last thing I wanted to do was to ask him if he wanted the missionaries to show up at his house. I didn't want him to think I was weird. "I think Mr. Santos would be a wonderful choice," Mom spoke up. "Every time I've talked to him, I've been impressed by how kind and considerate he is. He has a wonderful wife and a darling little family. They need the gospel." "Mom," I grumbled, "I'm asking Brian. If you want to talk to Mr. Santos, then go ahead." I hesitated, "but wait till I'm out of fourth grade." "Asking about the church won't change how he feels about you, Aaron," Dad said. "In fact, what you can do is give him a gift." Dad handed me a Book of Mormon. "Take that to school with you. If everything is right and you feel prompted, give it to Mr. Santos and ask him to read it." I took the book because I wanted everybody in the family to stop bugging me. But the next morning, when Mom slipped it inside my backpack, I complained, "I don't want to haul a Book of Mormon to school. People will think I'm weird." "Take it just in case." I was in luck. Brian was the first guy I ran into at school. "Did you see the game between San Francisco and Denver last night?" he asked excitedly. I shook my head. "We were having family home evening." "What's that?" "It's something the members of my church do every Monday night." Then I figured that since I'd gone this far, I might as well take care of my home evening assignment and get it over with. "Are you interested in learning more about my church, Brian?" "Huh? Why would I want to know anything about your church? I'm Baptist." "You should have seen the game, though. Denver almost squeaked out a win. If they had made the field goal at the end, they would have won by 2. I heaved a sigh of relief. That wasn't as bad as I'd expected, and I was probably the first one in the family to complete my missionary assignment. As I sat down in class, I opened my backpack and saw the Book of Mormon. I pushed it to the bottom of my backpack and took out my other books. As I did, I looked up at Mr. Santos. He was at the front of the class, smiling and calling the roll. I shook my head. There was no way that I was going to talk to Mr. Santos about the church. Besides, I had already asked Brian. The rest of the day I kept thinking of Mr. Santos and the Book of Mormon Mom had stuffed into my backpack. At the end of school that afternoon, I cleaned up after an art project. But before I knew it, I was alone with Mr. Santos. Gathering my things together, I started for the door. "See you tomorrow, Mr. Santos." He looked up from his desk and smiled. "You take care of yourself, Aaron. You got another 100% on your English quiz." He winked at me. "Keep up the good work." As I pushed open the classroom door, I paused. "Do you need any help this afternoon, Mr. Santos?" He leaned back in his chair. "You don't want to hang around here any longer, do you?" "Well, I wouldn't mind. I'd run to the office and call Mom and let her know." Mr. Santos grinned. "Well, I don't ever turn down good help." As I hurried down the hall, I thought about Aaron and Ammon in the Book of Mormon and about how their offering to help had led to the conversion of many Lamanites. I shook my head. All I was doing was giving Mr. Santos a hand, not preaching the gospel. But I couldn't stop thinking about Ammon and Aaron. Mr. Santos had me clean out and straighten some cupboards, then put the books on the racks in the reading center in order. He had received an order of new social study workbooks, and he asked me to stamp the school's name on the inside cover of each. Then boards needed to be wiped down and the art materials organized. Mr. Santos was in the room only part of the time. When he returned, I was getting ready to leave. "Are you giving up on it?" he asked with a smile. "I'm finished." "Finished?" he seemed surprised. "You've done everything?" I nodded. "You're some worker, Aaron Anderson. I can go home before dark, thanks to you. I have a couple of boxes to carry out to the car. Then I'm out of here." "I'll give you a hand. I'm heading that way." Mr. Santos grinned. "You're going to spoil me, Aaron." We both grabbed a box. Mr. Santos locked the door, and we started down the hall. "Are you a fisherman, Aaron?" he asked me. "Sure, I like to fish," I answered, smiling. "Dad loves to fish, too, but we don't get to go very often." "I have the same problem," Mr. Santos thought a moment. "You know, Aaron, we ought to make the time. I know a great place to fish not far from here. You, your dad, and I ought to pick a day and just go. What do you think?" "Sounds great. You name the time, and I'll tell Dad that we just have to." "That sounds like a solid yes." Mr. Santos opened the trunk, and we set the boxes inside. He thought a moment, then asked, "How about this Sunday? We can get up early and make a day of it." I looked away, suddenly feeling sick. Here I had a chance to go fishing with Dad and Mr. Santos, but I knew I could never do it on a Sunday. Would Mr. Santos ever ask me again? Strangely, I thought about when King Lamoni offered to give one of his daughters to Aaron for a wife. Mr. Santos saw me duck my head and look away. "Sunday isn't a good day." "I'd love to go with you, Mr. Santos, honest, but Dad and I don't fish on Sundays." A knowing smile touched his lips. "I bet you're a Latter-day Saint, aren't you?" His question sounded like a compliment. "You're just like Andy Frazier." He glanced across the parking lot with a far-off look in his eyes. "Andy and I were in the Marines together. The first time I met him was a Sunday morning. We talked and hit it off right away. I asked him if he wanted to drive into town and catch a movie. He turned me down. He said that he was headed for church. That's when I found out that he was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints." Mr. Santos turned back to me. "We became good friends. He didn't drink anything stronger than orange soda. He didn't cuss. He didn't smoke." Mr. Santos smiled at me. "But there were a lot of things he did do. Nobody worked harder than Andy Frazier, and he could shoot." Mr. Santos wagged his head. "Nobody in the whole battalion could shoot like him. I don't think there was a better member of the entire Marine Corps. At first, some of the guys kidded him about his religion, but he didn't let it get to him. One day we were on parade, marching around the parade field. When we marched, we sang out different cadences. Some of them are pretty funny. Some of them are..." He paused and shook his head. "Well, some of them have pretty bad words in them. They aren't the approved cadences, but at times we use them. Well, Andy had complained to the sergeant a number of times but he just said that Andy needed to toughen up a bit. One day we were using a cadence that was downright dirty. Andy broke ranks and headed right to the major, who was off to the side of the field. When I saw him go, I thought, "Andy, you're a dead duck. You're going to get booted right out of the Marines." Mr. Santos smiled at the memory. He didn't get thrown out. He saluted the major and told him that he was a Marine and proud of it, but he had been taught not to use filthy language and didn't expect to have to use it or to listen to it to be a good Marine. Mr. Santos smiled again. The major told the sergeant that from then on, Andy was to choose the marching cadence. Now that took courage. I'll never forget Andy Frazier. I think you're like him. I thought of the Book of Mormon in my backpack that I hadn't wanted anybody to see. "Maybe you'd like to know, well, what made Andy the way he was," I ventured. I pulled out the Book of Mormon. "Would you like to have this?" Mr. Santos took the book. He brushed his hand across the cover. "I think I have one," he said softly. "Andy gave it to me." "Did you ever read it?" I promised Andy that I'd read it, but I haven't yet. He handed back my Book of Mormon. "Thanks, Aaron, but I think I'll look for Andy's." As I headed home, I felt great. Even though Mr. Santos hadn't accepted the Book of Mormon, I was glad that Mom had stuck it in my backpack. The next day, when the last bell rang, Mr. Santos called out to me, "Aaron, would you mind staying after school for a few minutes?" "Do you need more help?" I asked, as the last of the other students left the room. "Not exactly. At least, not the kind of help you gave me yesterday." Mr. Santos opened one of the drawers, reached in, and pulled out a Book of Mormon. I found Andy's book. My wife and I read the first four chapters last night. "You did?" I gasped. "Did you understand it?" He nodded slowly. "I think so. But if I can get to something I don't understand, do you think you can help me?" "Sure. And if I can't, I can find someone who can." I grinned, thinking of Aaron and Ammon, suddenly glad that I had been named after them. End of the article, Missionary Challenge, by James Egbernson. Friends in the